Okay, hello, and welcome to a new episode of Innovations in Education. My name is Kevin Hogan. I'm editor-at-large for eSchool and eCampus News. For the past year or so, I've been interviewing ed executives at K-12 districts, talking about their response to the pandemic, talking about other issues that involve the integration of education and technology, and most importantly, the security of those systems. This episode is the first where we're focusing on higher education, something that we've been looking to do for a while now, and I'm very excited to kind of add this to the Innovation in Education podcast series. And no better way to get started with a conversation here with Mark Dean, Senior Systems Administrator at Morehouse School of Medicine. So we're starting off with a pretty high bar here. Morehouse is among the nation's leading educators of primary care physicians, biomedical scientists, and public health professionals. It's an independent, private, and historically Black medical school. It is also recognized as the nation's number one institution to fulfill a social mission, the creation and advancement of health equity. The school was founded in 1975. It's located in Atlanta. It has approximately 1,000 students and 1,300 faculty and staff. Mark, that gives you a pretty heavy duty responsibility in terms of the maintenance and security of that network. Thank you so much for taking the time to join with me today.
My pleasure.
Maybe we could just jump right into the weeds here and talk about the news. I know that Morehouse recently started a new arrangement with some organizations involving data security, which from my perspective before the pandemic was the number one issue that tech directors, both in the K-12 space and the higher ed space, worried about. I know that it was ransomware specifically was something that was, those sort of attacks had increased 100% between 2019 and 2020. And the average cost of a ransomware attack was around $450,000 to the average university. So was that your case? I mean, from your experience, I know you're just recently with Morehouse, but was ransomware something that was always high of mind for you?
It was not on my list until about 2-3 years ago. We've always had a good backup and recovery type of scenario. We've been with Beam for a number of years now, and that's what we use. But what really got me worried was reading about how ransomware people, let's call them that, they're actually now going after your backups. So they're actually going and trying to find out what do you use, Beam, Backup Exec, Iron Mountain, whatever you use, and they go ahead and delete your backups. So you have no way to recover. And if you use the cloud, they can get into your cloud stuff and they delete your cloud backups unless you have arrangements with the cloud provider. So that really caused me a lot of concern because backups are only as good as you can put them back. And so we looked at what we were doing and we made some changes based on industry standard, and Beam has a lot of information on that. A change in how we look at backups is what really we had to do. And we implemented that, and there's still some things we're implementing, but that was the impetus.
And apparently you had some legacy backup systems at Morehouse. It wasn't like you were just completely unprotected or unaware, but there sounded like there were separate things, and now you have a new solution with Veeam. Talk a little bit about that migration.
Well, we've been with Veeam for about 6 years now, maybe seven. It was the backup that they had when I got here, which was about 10 years ago, was very bad. It was horrible. And we tried a couple of different things, and then we went with Veeam, and it really worked really well. We back up to arrays, just like most companies do. But our goal was disaster recovery. It was getting last night's backup, that kind of stuff. But accidental things, equipment failures, that kind of things. Our backups were accessible to us, and that ends up being your Achilles heel in the modern ransomware world.
So yeah, so they're so sophisticated now. They go in and they kind of take out that backup side.
Yeah.
Part of the descriptions and part of the benefits apparently that you saw was that the new solution that you have helps lay the cornerstone for the 3-2-1-1 rule, 1-1-0 rule. Can you talk a little bit about that? What is that exactly?
Well, it used to be the 3-2-1 where you have three different backups, two different media, at least one offsite. Well, now you add to that, you have a backup that is offsite, but also one that is air gapped, meaning that you can't get to it from the network. And that's what we're using right now, our tape back. We have a big giant tape array, right? One of those, what do you call those? An automatic thing that we made that air gap. So it backs up to that. And by doing that, you can't get to that from the network.
Got it.
So what we're also working on is a way to get our cloud stuff to have what they call immutable backups. So the cloud provider won't delete it unless we call them and make some sort of arrangement, or won't delete it at all after a certain amount of time, for a certain amount of time. So one of those two options, or both in our case, is what we're headed for, because like I said, they're looking for the backups, and they're going to find them because you have to have that accessible in order to back your systems up.
So. Right. Right. It sounds to me like, I mean, we were talking about really sophisticated, really complex infrastructure and dynamic. I mean, this is in the case of you're installing a piece of software, right? It sounds like you must have a more of a robust relationship with Veeam. Talk a little bit about that. I mean, are they more of a service provider than a software vendor? How do you view that relationship?
They're a software vendor, and we use their main product, the backup and replication product. I think it's called Veeam Availability Suite, because it combines their backup and replication product with the monitoring piece, which is Veeam One, and that comes into play in guaranteeing that your backups are good, right? So the big problem with backups, well, you back it up, but how do you know the backup's good?
Yeah,
right. So Veeam has a way to automate that. They have a sure backup process where it'll actually restore what you backed up and test it. They also have ways to check the consistency of the backups to make sure that what was written is correct by checksumming and things like that. So there's an infrastructure. So there's a Veeam server, there's repositories, there's proxy servers, there's tape servers. I mean, it's an actual infrastructure that we have now to get it all put together. And now on the client side, we're getting a lot of Macs, and we for the Windows side, we're fine because we redirect that stuff to a server and that gets backed up. That doesn't work on a Mac. So we're actually having Veeam go in and hit high value Macs so that they can be backed up as well. So it's a big infrastructure.
Turns out. How has the pandemic affected the way in which you manage the district or manage the campus network when it comes to security, when everybody went remote, and I'm assuming there's still some elements of hybrid involved? Did that change things at all?
It changed in the sense that we didn't have the reach into user systems that we were backing up, but it didn't really change much, because once they would hit VPN, they'd be on our network, and most people just hit their desktop, you know, with their laptop from home. And they were routed to where their files were on the shares or databases or whatever they were using. We have a good amount of cloud stuff, software as a service stuff. So it was pretty seamless for them. We had to do some upgrades because all of a sudden 1,000 people were hitting our VPN. So
right.
That March, that's when we went all, March 2020, that's when we went all 100% remote. And that was, we had to actually upgrade some equipment.
Gotcha. Talk a little bit about the behavior side of data security. The things I've read about the ransomware attacks, a lot of it come in because of user behavior, or just a lack of awareness when it comes to a user, and basically phishing attacks going in and getting in. Is that part of Morehouse's data security strategy, is to inform faculty and students on being aware of how people are trying to get in?
Absolutely. We have a security department that sends out test phishing examples. And if a user clicks on it, then they know about it. And then the user has, I think, doing some training or something. And that number is coming down. The problem becomes when someone gets busy with their day, to get an email, and it's going to be from, the name is going to be from the president of the company or somebody like that. Maybe even, you know, they'll get it. They'll scrape they'll scrape email addresses off our websites, you know, like anybody else does. And so they're going to make it look like it's from Morehouse, even though it's not. We have things in the email that tells them, you know, this is from an external site, but people don't think, you know, or, you know, it only takes one time, you know, you click on it and it opens a PDF and it says, oh, you need to open, you need to put a password in there or anything like that. That's why that's why I don't have a lot of confidence that this is something that can be solved, because in this case, it's the users who are giving them what they want. They replicate a password field, make it look like they're logging into something, they make it look like our webpage or whatever. So you really can't blame them, even though we tell them, don't click on links in email. It's just too much, I think, for users to really get a handle on. And it's really hard from security side to manage that, because, you know, links, how do you know a link is good or bad? The ransomware people use Amazon services, just like we use Amazon services. So it's really hard to get that. The other thing, though, is some stuff comes in from unpatched systems. So when I hear of a company that got hit with ransomware and it was an unpatched system, my sympathy gets lower from that, because there's really no excuse for that, you know. Yeah. Especially if you're Windows, they don't even charge for updates. So there's no reason why an system administrator or whatever be behind in patching. I mean, I know we're all busy, but
yeah,
that's an easy win, because most ransomware is two things, actually. It's clicking on something and then it's exploiting some problem with the PC, some unpatched thing. And then they do things like pivoting, where they'll gain administrator access. And then they'll, now they got that for this one user, now they go look at the network. Using the same tools we use to manage a network, they're going to enumerate the network. They're going to say, well, if this password worked here, maybe it'll work here. And then they look for your servers and they look for your backups, and then you have a rough week.
Yeah. Is there anything about the fact that Morehouse is a medical school, or just when you're talking about that sort of work that they're doing, that makes the data that much more, I don't know, less secure or more important to protect when it comes to, you know, medical images or private health information out of, you know, patients possibly that are working in the school? Talk a little bit about if there are any extra layers of concern on your part from a network perspective, because we're talking about a medical institution.
There is, only because we have clinics. So we have healthcare data. So we have actual patients out in the remote clinics. And that kind of data is a prime target, because it's got a lot of information that can be used to steal identities. So my understanding is ransomware people go after that kind of data. Now I read somewhere that they're not gonna hit healthcare places, but I don't know if you can trust people who do this kind of thing. Someone's gonna do it.
Yeah.
And we get not just spam, we get phishing emails every day. There's not a day that goes by that some phishing email doesn't come to somebody. So we're constantly being hit. I mean, they may not even know who we are. These are coming from other countries and all that stuff. So,
yeah, it's just kind of random attacks, right? Yeah.
And there's really no way to fight that.
Right. How about, I know in the past that sometimes some of these protective solutions were sometimes seen as a luxury, or like, for, in terms of when it came to a budget item,